on these Sundays where we're preaching the fruit of the Spirit, but we're not actually preaching them from Galatians. And it's such a beautiful prayer, and I think we'll use it as the lead-in to the sermon today. So please pray it with me. Heavenly Father, I pray that this day I may live in your presence and please you more and more. Lord Jesus, I pray that this day I may take up my cross and follow you. Holy Spirit, I pray that this day you will fill me with yourself and cause your fruit to ripen in my life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Amen. For the past three Sundays, we have been considering the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, and peace. Very nice topics. But as we come to patience, we take up the words of Christopher Wright, who says, "Patience brings us back down to earth on a Monday." Patience is more than just waiting. It is a steadfast and calm disposition in the face of adversity or delays. A patient heart trusts in God's timing and is committed to enduring difficult situations with grace and love, even when faced with personal trials or challenging relationships. It is an active, hopeful, and gentle endurance. If you were here last week, I mentioned that the peace of God flows through us when we offer it to others as a blessing. The Holy Spirit of God dwelling within us accomplishes peace as we extend it. Likewise, the Holy Spirit accomplishes patience in us as we seek it from God's abundant supply. God's own character is patient, and it is his character that we want to bear as fruit in our lives. Paul told the believers in Galatia that he felt like a mother laboring on their behalf until Christ is formed in you. That is the difference right there between the fruit of the Spirit and the virtues. You've probably heard or even said, patience is a virtue, which it is. But virtue can be limited to being a human achievement. We know if we exercise patience, we're less likely to get ourselves in trouble. And we see the good effects of patience in the lives of others, and we want to be like them. But the fruit of the Spirit of patience is from Jesus and for Jesus. It points to him. As we wait, we seek to trust our Heavenly Father as Jesus trusted his Father. We seek to walk in step with God as Jesus walked in step with God. We seek to live as Jesus lived, trusting that God has the big picture, the whole view. There are many areas of life where we need God's help to be patient, but today I'm only going to mention three. We need patience in suffering, we need patience in dying, and we need patience in prayer. So let's begin with patience in suffering. The verses listing the fruit of the Spirit in the King James Bible translate patience as long suffering. Patience includes suffering. There's just no getting around it. In our Colossians passage, Paul expresses thanks to God for the Colossian believers, and he tells them he constantly prays for them, and he encourages them to live their lives in ways that honor God, which means bearing fruit in good works, growing and being strengthened by God for all endurance and patience with joy. He sends these words of encouragement to the believers while he himself is suffering in prison. Paul had not even met the Colossian believers to whom he was writing. Nevertheless, he was excited because they had discovered a life of joy in Christ. Jesus had broken down the boundaries of racial, national, and religious exclusivism, and Paul was glad because he knew this particular truth about God's patience. God is not willing that any should perish. And he saw that faith revealed in the Colossian believers. Paul considered the example of Christ's own patience as he suffered for our salvation as worthy of emulation. We suffer with pain or illness, with family discord or personal discouragement, with delays and frustrating setbacks, and sometimes we cannot help but cry out in frustration, maybe even in anger, wondering why God doesn't swoop in and make all things new right now. It is helpful to remember Paul's and Jesus's long-suffering patience with joy. How long-suffering with joy were we 5 years ago during the long COVID lockdown? Were we patient with the restrictions that were placed upon us? Or did we whine and worry and fret? Because there were sufferings under those restrictions. Yet many of us can look back and say that there were also important lessons learned. I wonder if we could consider this time of waiting for the full fruit of Jesus' kingdom as something like suffering in a COVID lockdown. In this time, we are given the opportunity to be strengthened in our inner beings through the power of the Holy Spirit, to grow and be more deeply rooted and grounded in the love of God, to share the good news of the kingdom life, so that others would turn from darkness to the light of Christ and live. The authors of the book Echoes of Exodus maintain that the Apostle Paul preached an Exodus-shaped gospel. He was exceedingly patient as he preached the good news because he understood that people are so easily enslaved by sin. Paul knew to the very core of his being that Jesus died to bring us out of the darkness of that enslavement into the light and life of Christ. Our passage from Deuteronomy 30 is an expression of God's desire for the flourishing of the people of Israel. They had spent 400 years as slaves in Egypt, unfortunately bringing that slavery mindset into their 40 years of wandering in the desert. 400 years is a long time to wait for rescue, and 40 years is a long time to wait upon a promise. They had not prospered in the ways that God wanted to bless them. What do you think God was looking for in them? The delays brought on by themselves did give them time and opportunity to bear the fruit of faithfulness, the fruit of obedience, love, and trust in God. At the end of the book of Deuteronomy, with the promised land in view, God speaks of his love and his desire to make the children of Israel abundantly prosperous in all their work, in the fruit of the womb, the fruit of their cattle, and the fruit of their harvest. These blessings require patience. They do take time to grow. The Lord does delight in prospering us. He delights in our obedience. as we turn to him with all of our hearts. This is not too hard. It is not far off. It is near to us, in our mouths and in our hearts. Patience is the opposite of shortcutting the way to true good. It is allowing the full fruit of the Spirit to grow even in our suffering. And our patience in our suffering is forming in us patience we need in our dying. Most of you know that my mom died last month. And among her many virtues, my mom had a generosity of spirit about her. And if you live to be 97, generosity of spirit definitely includes the exercise of patience. Her own mother was sickly, perhaps agoraphobic, and died of probably some type of stomach cancer when my mom was 19. My mom stayed back from college for 2 years after her mom died to work, to help my dad, and to be around for her younger brother. After she and my dad were married, they moved to Buffalo, New York, and they wanted a large family, and children quickly followed. But back in Minnesota, my dad's parents were struggling with one of his younger brothers, so they sent him to live with my parents for the summer. My mom, for obvious reasons, did not appreciate having a sassy teenage kid around while my dad worked full-time, plus was in graduate school, and she nearly solo parented 3 children under 3. With the many moves and strains and stresses of being a pastor's wife, and with 7 children born in 12 years, her life was not a picnic. Yet, she accepted what came to her with a generosity of spirit and trust. She retained and maintained a playfulness about her. She lived a deeply rooted Godward life. I say all this because dying well and living well always go together. Family physician, professor, and medical ethicist Lydia Dugdale says, "In the Christian tradition of Ars Moriendi, or the art of dying, dying well meant cultivating a life of virtue and attending to related spiritual matters." She goes on to say, "There were 5 ways that it was believed that people died poorly. Dying in despair, dying in a state of disbelief, dying impatiently, dying full of pride, and dying in a state of greed. If you died in those ways, you did not die well." Did you catch that one of the ways people die poorly is dying impatiently? I cannot help but mention the current issue of assisted suicide as a consideration around dying impatiently. Assisted suicide, undergirded by a for-profit healthcare system, puts vulnerable persons at risk of abuse and coercion and fosters discrimination. Despite what we often think, pain is not a primary issue. In 2016, 90% of Oregon patients seeking lethal drugs said they were doing so because they were less able to engage in activities making life enjoyable and were losing autonomy. And 49% cited being a burden on family, friends, and caregivers. In our culture, where autonomy is so highly valued, we would do well to remind ourselves that in the Christian view, dying is a community concern. Dying is tied to living, and living and dying are always done best in community. You could say that it was the challenges of community, church, family, neighbors, friends, who provided the opportunity for my mom to live well and to allow the fruit of patience to mature in her life such that she was patient even in her dying. And we who cared for her learned patience as well. Tyler Staton says, "The fruit of the Spirit is not grown abstractly. You and I must be deeply rooted to bear fruit. We grow in patience by bearing with difficult people when running away would be so much easier, perhaps even opening ourselves up to being teachable." Our psalm today has a theme of trust, or being taught by God. You could take out a pen and circle the phrases, "Show me, teach me, lead me, remember, think on me, guide, be gentle, reveal," culminating with the psalmist's life commitment, "My eyes are ever looking to the Lord." The psalmist is saying the key to the good life is found in patiently being taught, nurturing relationships with God and with others, wisely stewarding time, resources, and talents. We have been given so much. Let's steward our days well. Psalm 34:15 says, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry." This is the thrust of our gospel passage, patience in prayer. Luke frames the parable we sometimes call the parable of the widow and the unjust judge by letting the readers know that Jesus told it so that his listeners would know their need to pray always and not lose heart. The parable presupposes that the woman coming before the unjust judge is in the right, but the judge does not fear God. Therefore, his actions do not reflect God's authority, and he doesn't care what anyone else thinks. In the social structure of Jesus' day, a woman, particularly a widow, represented the absolute bottom of authority and influence. But Jesus says the parable is about prayer. Prayer addressed to God, who is not like the unjust judge. God is not put off by social or class distinctions. Everyone has access to his full attention. As Eugene Peterson says, our lives are filled with letters of recommendation, references, endorsements, etc., that give words of credibility and ensure an audience. We may become used to being ignored, put off, or put on hold, internalizing these diminishments for so long that we will hardly be bold like the widow. Jesus says, in effect, get used to it. Get used to being listened to by God. The parable doesn't end there, though. Jesus brings up those who have gotten used to not being listened to. They have quit asking God for what they need. Jesus says, "When the Son of Man comes, will he find the sort of faithful, persistent refusal to abandon prayer among his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night?" We've been considering the fruit of the Spirit, patience. In the parable, the widow is persistent. But the critical sentence is in verse 7, which the ESV renders, "Will he," that is God, "delay long over them?" That sentence is better translated and understood as, "Also, he is slow to anger with them." The Greek verb literally means he pushes anger far away, using one of the three New Testament words for patience. The Lord is patient in the parable. The elect cry out to him day and night. They are not sinless, and their faith is not always strong. As Kenneth Bailey says, the parable makes clear that Jesus is realistic about the frailties of those he has chosen. So let us be persistent in prayer, because our prayer is offered to a compassionate, patient, loving Father who cares for his children. And he is with them. He is with us in our suffering, throughout all of our living, and even in our dying. The Holy Spirit descends upon the church. Christ is present in us. He sees us. He hears us. He's patient with us. And he gives us the patience we need to persist, to endure whatever comes our way. We keep coming back to God with a steadfast and calm disposition in the face of adversity or delays. We trust God to develop in us a patient heart that waits for his timing and is committed to enduring difficult situations with grace and love, even when faced with personal trials or challenging relationships. This has been so true for us, Church of the Redeemer, as we have prayerfully, actively pursued finding a church building to call our own. I bless the Lord for the patience I see in you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.